You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Jay Will joins us now, and
Jay Weezy, what's up, baby?
What up,
this
baby?
Your time to shine, man. What you
what
got
a week
for
already?
Us? What's your first take, man? What's your first take with all this craziness going on in the world? We're gonna let you start with what the hell you want to start with.
Shoot, man. Look, if I'm in the NBA draft, I'm trying to trade down. Like I'm not walking away tonight looking at all these draftees and be like, hey, I'm going to trust that one of these guys can be the savior of my organization. I think you're going to have a lot of teams at the top of the draft that are going to be waiting for other teams literally to tell them what they're willing to give up for one of these picks, because I don't know if a lot of people will want to say he's our guy that we can really build the franchise around. And you know what happens a lot of time, Bart? Like, now you know this too, being an NBA. A lot of times we end up getting a lot of high draft picks because there is value in the draft. A lot of times, man, you can get guys who are first, second, third, fourth picks in the draft, and you're like, all right, well, you're really not making that huge of an impact, you know, and they don't turn out to be stars. I'm not sure how many superstars we have in this draft.
So tell me this, Jay. So listen, I'm sorry. So tell me this, Jay. We know that the odds are that there are at least one. It's a Kawhi Leonard. It's somebody there that's going to dare to be great. And could the Knicks finally find a guy that may not seem like he's a guy, but that can become the guy?
So, Bart,
and if it is, who's that guy in here?
Yeah, I'd be love to pick your brain on this too, Alan. Look, I've had the luxury, just because all I watch is hoops all day, every day, to watch Obi Toppin play. Now, if we had March Madness last year, I think it would have been, you know, March Madness puts a lot of people on the scene. Like, we have too much stuff going on as relates to the pandemic, the season shutting down, everything happening. Sports calendars are all jumbled up this year. But if we had March Madness last year, we would have been talking about how special Obi Toppin is. And I've seen like a comparison to Amari Stoudemire. I actually think he's a little bit more skilled than Amari Stoudemire. But he's one of those guys that's coming up the draft board pretty fast. I'm curious to see if he'll be around by then, but Obi Toppin would be the one guy I would mess with, Bart.
So I agree. See, that's the name that I just keep. Look, I'll tell you what, Jay. I think this is the draft for
Any 30, Adam?
That's what I mean. This is the draft for the older players, right? Don't you think? If you don't have a guy with star potential as a one and done, wouldn't you want the glue, play right away, insert him into whatever you've got on your roster, and he could be a rotational player, 21 or 22 year old? Would you agree with that?
It's like Tyrese Halliburton, right? I mean, like, it's saying, like, a guy who's a little bit older, understands how to play. Like, man, like, there's nobody, and I understand everything that's being said about LaMelo Ball, and I think LaMelo Ball does have really good upside. But there's nobody I look at, I'm like, damn. Like, Anthony Edwards, maybe. Maybe a little bit. Like, he's kind of on the
issues from the neck up, though. That's the, you know, right? He's got those neck up issues that you worry about.
Yeah.
So this gets into my point, Al, right? Like, if he's the one guy that kind of jumps off the page, but then you're worried about, you know, what comes along with that, if you're Minnesota, if you're Rosas, are you going to sit there and say, I have the veteran leadership on my team to make sure that I can surround him with people that keep his head on straight? Or are you looking at your roster saying, man, like, we've gone through a lot. Like, Cat lost his mom. We lost Jimmy Butler. Jimmy and Cat clashed. We brought in D'Angelo Russell, came from Golden State, wasn't sure he really wanted to be here. Him and Kat are friends, but they're younger. Is this the right core for a guy like Anthony Edwards to succeed with? I'm not necessarily sure with that. That's what I'm like, you know, can you hold somebody hostage for Anthony Edwards? Maybe some other valuable draft picks that you can utilize in future picks and get a veteran presence in there to help out your young stars blossom and continue to grow into the team they need to be? I have a tendency to move more in the latter direction than I do in the former.
Let me ask you now about what's happening right now. The draft's tomorrow. You'll be on the coverage tomorrow night, obviously. But the trade season, which opened yesterday, already has made a couple of headlines. Chris Paul is the first one I'll ask you about. Is just his move to Phoenix. Is it a surprise to you that that's a place he'd want to go? And what impact do you think it has on a young Suns roster that caught everybody's attention in the bubble?
Well, I mean, just looking at it recently, it's not like Chris Paul was like, hey, I have, 29 options and let me just pick one and make it work. Like, it had to work out for both sides, right? So I'd be curious. I wish I could be a fly on the wall to see, if the Clippers were part of that conversation in lieu of CP3, what Sam Presti, the GM of the Oklahoma City Thunder, would have wanted from the Clippers and if the Clippers were willing to give that stuff up. So that's number one. Does it jump off the page for me that CP3 goes to Phoenix? Not necessarily, but at the end of the day, as much as we all want to see guys like CP3 win a championship, I like the fact that he's doing it his way. And maybe CP3's way isn't to partner up with a Kawhi and a PG. Maybe isn't to partner up with a LeBron or AD. I like that CP3 sometimes is different, and I like that CP3 still feels like he can bring big value, not like value come off the bench value. Like, no, I want to be a starter, and I still want to play. So at the end of the day, is it the move that, are people going to say it's a sexy move? Yeah, he's going to win a chip. No, but it's kind of the CP3 move.
Mm-hmm. That's closer to home for him, too. I think that was probably a bigger priority than chasing a ring at this point in his career.
Family.
So when you come about this, I'm looking at the moves that the Bucks made. Now, was Drew Holiday made so that he can match up with Jimmy Butler, put two pit bulls against each other?
And I've already talked about Alan, you don't like the move, Alan. No. You don't like it, do you?
I just don't feel, it's not that I don't like it. I just feel like if you're the Bucks, you needed to make a move that would be a little bit, that would resonate a little more. That would say, oh, that, all right, they're in. Like, they're all in now. You had that guy. Like, it's like when the Nets with Jason Kidd, when they got Vince Carter, it's like, okay. Like that, that's one of those moves that it resonates. This move was sort of, okay, it's two nice players, but nobody's going to mistake them for being superstars. It's still Giannis, who's a 1A, and now it's a bunch of guys who are still sort of 2As. I don't even call them 1Bs.
Let me ask you this, Alan. If James Harden does not go to Brooklyn, yeah, right, would you like the matchup of Drew Holiday on Kyrie Irving?
Yeah, it's a good matchup.
One of the best two-way guards in the league.
Absolutely.
When he's healthy.
Yeah, no, you just added the key phrase. When healthy.
Okay, understood.
Yeah.
I sit there and I watch Drew in New Orleans, and yeah, they were in a playoff race. Yeah, the season stopped. But I never got the sense watching Drew like Drew was really, really happy in New Orleans with that team. There were a lot of stuff going on between Brandon Ingram. Like, was he the guy? Was Zion the guy?
Yeah.
JJ wasn't getting enough touches. Is Zion hurt? What's going on with Lonzo Ball? I'm playing off the ball. Now Etwan Moore's there. It's just a lot of different things going on. A very young, young team. So I look at Drew and I look at Bogdanovich. Like, if James Harden doesn't come to Brooklyn, I'm like, okay, like, that's your Eastern Conference Finals. Like, is that Milwaukee versus Boston? Is that Milwaukee versus, Brooklyn? Is that
my point is,
jumps off the page, but you're still there.
Yeah, you're still there. Okay, but you were already there. Like, I'm talking about.
Yeah, but you're
trying to keep a guy.
You're not there with Eric Bledsoe, Alan. You're not there with Eric Bledsoe.
But they were. They won 60 games. They were a good enough team.
Are we talking about playoff Bledsoe though? Or are we talking about regular season Bledsoe? Because I feel like those are two different players.
What do we know about Drew Holiday, playoff Drew Holiday? What do we know?
I think Drew Holiday has a lot more in his bag than Eric Bledsoe has. And I can say that with conviction. Like, I watch Bogdanovich play in SAC. Like, he has a lot in his bag. I don't think you're getting – I mean, look, you give up some of your bench with Dante DiVincenzo. Yeah, I hear you. But that starting five is a legit five, man. And I think you can go find ancillary pieces to do your work off the bench. I, I like the unit for Milwaukee. I actually think they could be a better team than what they were last year. And I'm talking about a team built for the playoffs, not built for regular season success, but for the playoffs.
Okay. Did they lose Robin Lopez? Is that something they have to figure out? Because I think he opted out for $5 million, right?
Yeah, he still got Brooke, though. I mean, he's the guy that can...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Robin. Okay, I always forget which one is the horrible twin.
it's the one you just made mention of.
He's his defensive.
The one with the curly hair.
Let's get to it with Jay because we're late in the interview already. We got to get to now. Again, you mentioned it, so let's go deeper into this. James Harden to Brooklyn, and as Woj reported, it's what he wants. It's what they've talked about, and now it's something we wait and see. Do the Rockets actually try to make the deal? We saw them make a Covington deal, which they got two firsts, which is that's mind-blowing. They got two firsts for Robert Covington.
I was shocked by that.
Yeah, I was too. So is that a sign that they're already ready to start making moves? But the point I'm going to ask you is this something – let's go from the Brooklyn side first. This puts them all in for a title. If they can somehow pull off this move – compare those three on the same team to other big threes that we've seen in this generation, in this, I guess, the last, 10 years or 12 years or so. Where would you put them, and where would you put the number on ability to win a championship from 1 to 10?
I mean, to answer your second part of the question, 10.
Yeah.
10. To answer your first question, I mean, I thought the best big three that I've ever seen was KD, Steph, and Clay. Now, I mean, this is subjective, Alan. Pick what you deem to be more stylistic to how you want to win. When I think about KD, Steph, and Clay, like, that's in the continuity type system of how they play, right? That system that they have up there in Golden State is different. It feels like the ball moves. It doesn't stick. I think one of the things that becomes interesting as it relates to Brooklyn is this is the most dynamic mixtape like team we've ever seen in the history of the game.
And they're both two-way players too, right? Because it's not like they can't create off the dribble by themselves, but also they all can be spot-up shooters as well. That's what I love about it.
Everybody got duffel bags of millions of dollars. They got full bags. Everybody on that team has bags on bags on bags. Like, that's what their offensive repertoire is. And if there's a team that gets you hyped, this is a polished version of street ball in Brooklyn. And that's what's exciting about it. Now, how does it actually work?
Yeah.
Alan, I think you need to have James Harden at the point. I think you have to move Kyrie Irving off the ball.
Ooh, good luck. Steve Nash has to convince him to do that? Like, who convinces that?
But I think you have to get them all to buy into a different style of play.
Biggest
challenge. That's the only way it will work. Right. You have to. You cannot bring Mike D'Antoni, great for spacing. But if you're Steve Nash, if you're able to pull this off,
you have to say
we are going to a Golden State style like a play with the roster that we have.
But this is the thing. So would this be the first time that we saw a D'Antoni type of offense work because he have all the pieces that he need to be able to apply the type of pressure that they need? Because last year we didn't see it work well because you think about Westbrook, he can't shoot. He's a one-dimensional player, so you play him a certain type of way. Now you got to play all three of these guys honest. And I think that Jared Allen works better with these guys than the old kneecaps of DeAndre Jordan. You need somebody that's going to get up and go with these guys and basically be a JaMale McGee that's going to be a pogo stick just catching oops and lobs and putbacks.
Well, that depends, Bart, if you still have Jared Allen by the time this trade is done. You may not have him. He may be an asset used in the trade for James. But I would say that this can't be the old-school Mike D'Antoni way of Houston. If that's the case, then they're just going to be another version of Houston. I mean, I think that's still good, but I don't think that wins you a world championship. This has to be a blend of what Steve Nash wants to do. And everything I've known about Steve, spending time with him in New York, spending time with him in Brooklyn, is that I think, Steve, there's more of a continuity. Like, if there's one guy that had the ball in his hands a lot, that was Steve. But now we have James and Kai and KD together. Like, there has to be a little bit of that blend of that Golden State offense with that Mike D'Antoni offense. And if that's the case, man, I don't know how you don't have them the favorite to win it all.
I don't know how you don't. I agree with that. If you get them together, all the pressure is not on the players. All the pressure now is on Steve, on D'Antoni. Who else is on? Is Sean Marion now on that coaching staff? It feels like all the Phoenix Suns are on that coaching staff now. But it's basically going to be on them to get them to buy in, to make it work. And somehow it'll be all Joe Harris's fault if it doesn't work. But let me though, because I have to now ask you, with if even with this just as a possibility, but knowing already what the Nets are going into the season with, which is obviously a healthy KD, which is the scariest thing in the league. If you're the Knicks, if you're Leon Rose, are you now, do you put a little more into, well, we couldn't get Chris Paul, maybe we're going to have to make that trade for Russell Westbrook? Do you feel like it almost compels him to do that? Because if you don't and you're going with a young team, boy, you become irrelevant real fast.
No, I don't go for Russell Westbrook. I stay the damn course. It's people may not like it, but I stay on the course of the draft and I keep building assets. I want to see Russell Westbrook in New York. I think it'd be a good fit for Russell. I'm not sure it'd be a good fit for the Knicks long term.
It's just like
I don't know if a lot of players want to play with Russell Westbrook at this stage of his career.
Yeah.
You just shot Santa Claus in the head, man.
No, all the joy, everybody. He gave you a compelling answer that it took
Jay Will. I can't handle the truth.
You know what I want to say? It took some you know what's for
some
Jay
marbles.
To say that.
Marbles.
Because the easy thing to do, right? Marbles. The easy thing to do is to say absolutely get a great player. But it would take guts to look down the barrel of that and say, nope. Can't do it. Cannot let what one team's doing force me to make a move.
I love Russ. Russ is a competitor. He is a beast.
Yeah.
But like just everything I've seen becomes about Russ. And like when you're young on a team that has not formed your identity, if you don't have somebody that is just saying it's about us all the time. That can isolate a team. That can make a lot of your young guys go in a different direction. And it's all about, if you want to keep R.J. Barrett, if you want to keep some of these young assets, like, stylistic-wise, they need somebody around them that's going to show them how they need to be in the next 5 years. I'm just not sure right now, at this stage of his career, if Russ wants to allocate the time to do that. He's done that before. He's been around that block before. I'm not sure that's the right move for him.
So what's the future for him then? Because you would think that if Harden is gone, that he's going to want out. Where potentially can he go where he can be a difference maker? Is he somebody that, you know?
Or do you just let him be the man in Houston?
But being a man in Houston ain't the same as him being a man in OKC, because OKC was where he was,
where he was brought in at. Yeah.
That was his home. That's where they invested in him. They hitched their wagon to him. Like, he's a stepchild in Houston. And he's only
Alan, let me ask you, is it crazy for me to throw out the Clippers?
Ooh.
Is it crazy to not, if there's another guy, like, look, we're talking about the Brooklyn Nets and Joe Tsai going over to Cap, right?
Who did he play? Who did he already play with that's on the Clippers?
Yeah. Paul Geezy.
I feel you, but it always felt like him and PG were really tight, though.
That's what I mean. No, I mean, there's already a relationship there. And Kawhi is the one guy that is the one that you can't read, and you'd have to learn how to make sure that he still gets the ball. But does that team need a guy like that? Like, we saw
they need Rondo. They need Rondo.
Yeah,
they need Rondo.
I can see Rondo ended up there too, by the way, Jay.
I can see both, though, Bar. I'm not looking at Rajon Rondo right now and be like, he's a thoroughbred that's going to play 35 minutes a night, right? Like, even if he can when you need him to, but if you need that pit bull, somebody that's going to push the tempo, make the game easier for you.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
You need somebody to guide. Like, that kind of seems like CP3 going to Phoenix. Like, you're looking at Russ a little bit differently now. If you're that team moving forward.
I'll tell you what, Jay. The one thing I do know is that when you're back on with us on Tuesday, next Tuesday, the league is going to look a lot different.
Yes, it is.
We know it. Free agency is going to begin on Friday. You got the draft, which will be very interesting tomorrow, obviously, and then the trade season already underway. And Jay will be part of our draft coverage tomorrow night at ESPN. He's doing all his homework right now, trying to figure out a draft that has any idea what's going
to
happen.
And that's why I didn't habitual line stuff today. You know what I'm saying? I'm giving my dog a day off. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
thank you.
I know you got a lot to do. You know what I'm saying? You got
me throwing a lot of days, man. I'll be ready to get fired when I leave the set with you.
Yeah, yeah, you know what I'm saying? So this is the first day we had, like, you know, you were on
actually,
he was on a 3-week streak where he either said inappropriate word or customer.
Or he hung up,
you know
he hung up quickly.
Exactly.
Wait. I know we're late. I can't help it. I've got to ask you this question because I can't believe I didn't ask it out of the gate. What would it take for you to, when someone offers you $50 million a year, to say, no, I'm all set?
Well, dude.
How bad do you not want to be somewhere?
This was a week ago. As soon as this thing came out, I said, I'm James Harden. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I'm never going to win a championship here. I can't win a championship in Houston. Like, and all due respect to the coach, first-year head coach, first-year GM. I'm 31, turning 32. I'm supposed to trust these two individuals and this organization. Now, we wanted to get into the whole Steve Bertita thing, you know, going over to Cap, and I also heard some rumors about, you know, political alignments and things of that sort. Yep. So I think it's interesting, man. Like, every money ain't good money, Alan. You know what's good money, Alan? My investment in Brooklyn Nets season ticket courtside seats last year before.
Hey, can I be your plus one?
Too bad nobody can go in the building.
All day.
Jay, love you, man. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, guys.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.